All right, we're on Zayin Amud Aleph, beginning the eighth parak of the Masechta. The subject of this parak mainly is going to be cases involving a suffix involving Nazir. So we talked about, for example, the other day about the case where a person is suffix Tomei and suffix Metzoda. We're going to have that later on in our parak, and in various other cases where you have a suffix whether a person is Tomei or Tahor or different Nazirim got mixed up or whatever. We're going to deal with all that in this parak. So the Mishnah starts off, Shnei Nazirim, if you have two Nazirim, and we have to assume for purposes of the discussion over here, the Mefarish says that they both took on Nazirus at the same time, so that way, in other words, their Nazirus ends at the same time as well. Anyway, Sha'omer Lahen Echad, one other person says to them, Ra'isi Echad Mikem Shenitma, I saw that one of you became Tomei, mess, obviously, but any idea is and became, but I don't know which one of you it was. So each one of them is Tomei Misafik. So what do they do now? So as a Nazir Tomei, of course, they would be a Nazir Tomei would be shaving and bringing and bringing his three carbonus for that, two birds and one sheep, and start over again. A Nazir Taho would be bringing three animals, and that's it, as Nazirus is over. In both cases, they're shaving. Therefore, Megalfin, so therefore they both shave, Omavian Carbon Tomb of a Carbon Tile. They bring in partnership the set of carbonus for Tumah and the set of carbonus for Tile. Now, we don't know which is whose, but that's okay. For Omer, and he says, different Mephoshim talk about, does he actually have to say? Tosfa says they don't actually have to say. Implicitly, this is how it'll be. On the other hand, the Mefarish says one of them would have to say, and the Rishonim will learn that they actually would have to both say explicitly. Anyway, they say, Im anihu tomei. So Reuven says, if I'm the one who was tomei, korban tumah shaliva korban tara shalcha, then the korbanos of tumah are considered to be mine, and the korbanos of tara will be considered to be yours. So that way, I, Reuven, will have brought my korbanos tumah, and now I can start my nazirus over. You, Shimon, will have now brought your korbanos tara. The im anihu atoher, and vice versa. Reuven says, if I'm the one who was toher, korban tahara shaliva korban tumah shalcha, then the set of korbanos for tahara belongs to me, and the korbanos for tumah belong to you, and you start your nazirus over. Then the sofrim shloshim yom, then they count out another 30 days of nazirus, or however long it was that they had both taken on, but let's assume that they had each taken on only 30 days of nazirus. So they count out another 30 days. Both of them, of course, have to keep that 30 days misafik, because either for each one of them has to consider this might be his Nazirus Tara, might be the previous 30 days where he was Tomei and brought his Korbanos Tumah, and now he's doing his Nazirus Tara.
This is only if it's 30 days already?
Isn't it? This is, we're talking about that to begin with, somebody came and told them that right. They're Tomei and misafik, but it's only misafik. So now the thing is they have to wait until the end of the 30 days before they can even start bringing carbonus, because what if he's not Tomei, and then he can only be bringing carbonus at the end of the 30 days. Yeah. So they wait another 30 days, and we'll be in carbon tara. Then they bring just a carbon tara, because now there's no question none of them are bringing a carbon tumah anymore. If anybody was Tomei, then they brought it the first time around. So now the Omer, and they say, if I, Reuven, am the one who was Tomei, korban tumah shaliva korban tara shalcha, then the previous korban tumah was mine, the one that we brought a month ago was mine, and the one that we brought for tara was yours, Shimon, v'zek korban taharasi, and now the korban that we're bringing now is for myself, for my korban of Nazirus tara, v'imanihu ator, if I'm the one who was tohar the whole time, korban tara shaliva, then the one that I brought 30 days ago was mine, the korban tumah shalcha, and the korban that we brought 30 days ago for tumah was yours, v'zek korban taharasi, and now this is the korban for your tara. So they're both pooling their money to buy these korbanos, but like this, in other words, so they end up bringing three sets. They end up bringing three sets of korbanos between the two of them, one set of korbanos tumah and two sets of korbanos tahara. The one set of tahara and tumah after 30 days, and a set of tahara after 60 days, and that way they're covered no matter what.
I don't understand why it's two and one. Why isn't it just two and two?
Because why would there need to be two and two? If they once 30 days have passed, Once 30 days have passed, if either of them was tummy, then he's brought as korbanos tumah. Now at this point, the second 30 days. So during the first 30 days, the question is this Reuven's nezirus and Shimon has become tummy and needs to start over, or is it Reuven needs to start over and this is Shimon's nezirus? The second 30 days, the question is only, is this Reuven's nezirus or is this Shimon's nezirus, and the other one is nothing. So therefore, we only need three sets of korbanos.
Now this is talking about that one guy said it and you could take his word for it.
Well, that's, we're going to discuss that in the Gemara. But actually, first of all, Tosfos says that we have to be talking about where they're not answering him. They say, he says that you became Tomei and they're being quiet and not answering him, because if they were to contradict him, we wouldn't necessarily believe him, because he's only 1-8 after all.
It doesn't need warning.
Warning is from the Mason. We're talking about, in other words, that the case is he saw that, for example, he saw that a Kazayas Menames fell on one of them, and he's not sure, he was watching, as the Gemara was going to say, he was watching from a distance, and he didn't know which one it was it fell on.
But it
was definitely one of them, yeah. But again, if they both say, no, it wasn't me, then we wouldn't have to accept what he says, and they wouldn't have to be doing this whole thing. So we have to be talking about where they're not saying anything. So they're saying, you know what, maybe we actually don't know.
I remember we learned that you could bring someone else, you could pay or bring someone else.
You can pay for somebody else's carbon, right.
But how about the other way? How about the carbon? Carbon tire you could do for that person also.
Yeah, but the point, so that's the thing. So what they do is they pool their money together over here. The fact is, each one of them definitely has to bring korbanos tire at some point. One of them has to bring korbanos tumah at this point. We just don't know which one. So they buy the korbanos in partnership and they make these conditions. Or again, according to Tosfos, they don't even necessarily need to explicitly make these conditions. All it is the Kohen, when he's offering these korbanos, he will have in mind one of these two Nezirim, Reuven and Shimon. One of them is Tomei. We don't know right now which one, but whichever one it is, the korbanos of Tumah will be on behalf of that one. Hashem knows the truth, and therefore they'll be on his behalf, and the other one will be on behalf of the other one, and so forth.
The title, I understand, but the Tumah, korbanos. You know, I'll bring a carbon
That's the thing. Person. One of them is definitely Tommy.
But the other person is bringing
a. Can we move on, please?
Avraham Moshe, we need to understand this. That's why. So just a second.
We understand very well. What's the question? Why are we storing like that?
Okay, instead of arguing, give me just a second to finish explaining, and then we'll go on. Ellie, the point is that one of them is definitely Tommy. So we're bringing korbanos tumah on his behalf. If it's Reuven, then Reuven. If it's Shimon, then Shimon. It's not that we're bringing two sets of korbanos tumah when only one of them might be tumah. We're bringing one set of korbanos tumah, which it's for one or the other of them. They both chip in for one set of korbanos.
Okay.
So the Gemara starts off. Katani shtei shnei nezirim sha'amar lahem re'isi echad mikam shenitma. So let's look. The Mishnah is saying that you have two nezirim. A third person tells them, "I saw one of you became tummy." The Enyadeh is in a camp, but I don't know which one of you it is. So then we're saying that we have this issue where one of them is Tomei, but we don't know which one it is. The question is, the Gemara asked, V'amai, why would there even be a Suffolk Tumah such that we should consider that they have to bring Korbanos Tumah at all? Where do we learn the whole concept that if you have a Suffolk Tumah in Rishus HaYachid, we learn it from the Soita. We learn it from the case of a Soita, where a Soita was alone with one man, and it's just Yachid. Mas Soita boil the Nivellus. Just like by the Soita, all you have over there in seclusion is the potential boil. We don't know whether he was boil. That's the whole point, but fine. The possible boil and the possible Nivellus, the man and the woman. And because of that, we consider her Tomei Misafik, and therefore the husband has to, therefore she's also to her husband until she drinks the Soita water. So when we say when there's a suffix tumah b'shus hayachid, and the result is that we have to consider a person tumah misafik, that would apply only when there are two people, no more than that. Aval hacha, but over here you have three people. Shnei nezirim b'hai dekoy gabein haplasa. You have three people. You have the two nezirim. You have the third one who sees and says that one of them became tumah. Have a suffix tumah b'shus harabim. So you have. a case of Safek Tumah in Rishus HaRabim. Rishus HaRabim, for purposes of the halachas of Tumah V'Tahara, is not necessarily identical with Rishus HaRabim as we talk about as far as Hilchos Shabbos. You have areas that are considered a Rishus HaYochid as far as Shabbos, but a Rishus HaRabim for Tumah, and sometimes the other way around as well. So here's one of the things. If you have three people together in the same place, then it'll be considered a Rishus HaRabim. So therefore, so you have three. Havalei Safek Tumah Rishus HaRabim. And when you have that, because of the suffix, they're all considered tahar. Which that actually the Gemara elsewhere explains that we also learn from the Sota exactly that, because precisely by the Sota we find that there's no problem when there's three people. The Keren Ora asks, and the fact is, if the husband tells her, don't be alone with this man and with this man, then it would also be a valid stira if she is together with one or the other of them or both, then she would be considered a soita. Nevertheless, he says, though, okay, but the fact is that really the question is, the suffix is, did she have relations with one of them or with the other? They may be talking about where they're all together, but nevertheless, the suffix is on everyone individually. That's the point. The Gemara also elsewhere explains, in other words, that a person has a cheskas tara. So therefore, you can't just willy nilly say that all of a sudden that they're tomei unless you have a solid basis for it. So anyway, so suffik tumah b'shus harabim is tahor. So why over here then? Is there a problem in the first place? And the answer is Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna ba'omer reisi tumah shenizrika b'neichem. He was standing at a distance, and he says, I saw where a tumah was a source of tumah was thrown between you. So I know that it landed next. I know that it landed by one of you and made you tumah, but I don't know which one. So therefore, in other words, so he's standing at a distance. So therefore, he's not in the same rishus as them. Therefore, it's a rishus yachid.
They're standing so far away, he had to see who it is.
He could see, obviously it was close enough that he could see who they were, but not close enough to actually see which one of them it touched. In fact, the Ravid when the Rambam brings this halacha in Hilchos Nezirus, the Ravid discusses over there and the different Nosekalim discuss back and forth about that. He says, when we talk about Rishus HaYochid versus Rishus HaRabim, it may not even be enough that they're all in the same physical Rishus, let's say in the same building or whatever, for it to be considered a Rishus HaRabim as far as Tumah. He says, if, for example, you have even within the same building, if two of them are standing, let's say at one end of the building and the other one is standing at the other end, so again, he's close enough to see them and to see the Tumah, but not close enough to see which one it was, then the Ravid says that would also be considered Rishus HaRabim, that would also be considered Rishus HaYochid for our purposes, and therefore they would be Safek Tumah. As opposed to the Rambam phrases it in terms of them all being in the same Rishus, implying that according to the Rambam, it would actually have to be, let's say, two of them were inside the building and the third one was watching through a window or something. But if they were all three in the same building, we'd still consider it Rishus HaRabim. Tosfos anyway points out a point that, one second, if you're going to tell me Safek Tumah B'Rishus HaYochid is Tomei, and that's on a Daraisa level, because we're learning it from Sota, then what are you telling me in our Mishnah that only one of them brings a Korban Tumah? And we're saying you're bringing it. You don't know whether it's Reuven or Shimon. So fine, they make a tnai that it should be on behalf of me. It should be on behalf of you, as the case may be. If we're talking about Safek Tumah B'Rishus HaYochid on a Daraisa level, then we should consider, when we say Safek Tumah B'Rishus HaYochid, we actually consider it to be enough of a vadai that even if the result of that is that truma has become potentially tumah, we will actually burn it. Now you have like this, many times we'll say when you have a suffix on truma, whether it's tome, many times we'll say you don't actually burn it because it's true you have a mitzvah to burn truma that is tome. On the other hand, it is also true that you have a mitzvah to guard truma and not destroy it unnecessarily. So many times we will say that when you have truma that became tome misuffix, then we'll just set it aside, toilin, we'll leave it in a state of suspension. But when it comes to suffix truma b'shus yachid, the halacha is we actually burn truma for such a suffix. So that being the case, then it means that we're considering it more of a vadai. So why don't we say over here that both of the nazirim are vadai tomei, and they should both have to bring a korban tumah, and then you don't have the whole thing with all the conditions and all in our Mishnah. So Tosfos' answer is that the fact is, what are we learning from a sota? There is the possibility. It's a 50-50 chance. She may have become Tomei, she may have not. Here, there's no question one of them is Tahar. Only one of them, that's the point. Therefore, we can't say that the Vaday should make that both of them are Tomei. And then Tosfos goes on to say that really the fact that Safek Tuma B'Shus Rabim is Tahar, well, actually it's because each one has a Chazakah. So that's why, in other words, we're saying that since each one of them has a Cheskas Tara, we can't say that the Safek Tuma B'Shus Yachid should be strong enough to make both of them Tomei. Rather, only one of them is Tomei. We just don't know which one, and that leads us to the scenario of our Mishnah.
Let's say they're about to go. There was a piece of thing was thrown,
mm-hmm.
and landed, and then before they part, they say Alech Noshama.
It doesn't matter. One person, no, because one person who was touched by a mess, we learned this earlier in the Masechta, it's one thing when he's touching a mess, b'chiburim, then he can make another person Tomei Tumas Shiva. But afterwards, when it's not b'chiburim, when he's not touching the mess anymore, if he touches somebody else, he only makes him Tumas Ere. Yeah. So Omer Ravashi, and Ravashi says, Dekanami, in fact, you can see that from the wording of the Mishnah to Katani, because it says, V'eni Yadea Ezim Ikem, he says, I don't know which one of you it was. So that implies, in other words, that he never knew in the first place because he wasn't there. Because in other words, if it meant that he was actually there together with them and he saw what happened and now he just doesn't know, then the Mishnah would say, Shachach. Any idea suggests that he never knew in the first place. Why does he not know in the first place? Because he wasn't in the same place with them.
If he was, it wouldn't work.
That's the point. That's Ravashi is explaining that the Gemara had asked that isn't it Safek Tuma B'Shus Rabim? And the answer is from the wording of the Mishnah, you see very clearly that in fact it was not B'Shus Rabim because he wasn't together with them. The Ravid points out something else as well, that the expression Any Yadea Ezim Mikem suggests that he wasn't together with them. Otherwise, again, he'd be using a somewhat different lotion. To imply that he was together with them. Mikem suggests you who were by yourselves without me actually being present in the same part of the chatzar or the same part of the building or whatever together with you.
Even though Sechel tells you that it's rather it should be a little closer, that you can be sure that it's one of them were to be further away. So either way,
again, if he were to be closer, then if he knows which one of them it was, obviously, if he didn't pay attention to begin with, then it would be Safek Tuma B'Shus Rabim, and we would say they'd all be Tahar, and we wouldn't have to worry about any Korbanos Tuma at all. Only because it's a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and that's what we're saying. We have to establish how we can make that this would occur in a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. And the answer is that the person is watching them from a distance.
I know we learned you off of Sikh, but Sechel tells you that if you have less of a suffix, rather you have less of a suffix, be closer, even though it's considered the same Rosh Hashanah, maybe, but I guess.
Yeah. Okay.
Either way, it's always learn from
Sikh. You always learn from Sikh, right? Okay. Onward, the Mishnah had said Megalchin and Mevi'in. The Mishnah had said that they both shave and they both bring their korbanos, and we said they bring a korban tara and a korban truma, and they make the conditions that we're talking about. Now the question is: the first time enough, it's easy enough to say that they both shave because fine, both of them definitely have to shave. One because of tara, one because of truma. So no question about that, even if you have now we're going to get into the whole question of shaving their payas, where after all, the Nazir shaves his entire head, payas included. So normally that would be also, but as we learned earlier in the Masechta, when it comes to the shaving of a Nazir, then that overrides that usual mitzvah. Yeah. And we said, beard is by the mitzvah. We had before in the Mems, we had the word Roshe, we had the word Zekonoi that it says by Metzora. We learned different things from that. One of them being that, yes, even a Nazir that he shaves, even though usually a Nazir is also to shave his head, but in the case of Tzaras, it's Mutter. And even though a Yid is usually not allowed to shave his payas by a Nazir and by Metzora, it's Mutter. And even though a Yid is not allowed to shave his beard by Metzora, it's Mutter. So fine, over here, when the person is Safek Tomei, Safek Tar, fine. But at the end of the first 30 days, they have to shave their whole head, payas included, no matter what, either for Tumah or for Tara, as the case may be. But the question is, why are they shaving? Why are they both shaving at the end of the 60 days? Only one of them is shaving, at only one of them is required to shave at this point, because he was Tomei and now went through Nazirus Tahara. The other one has just kept 30 days where there was no reason for him, really. He only did it because of Suffolk. So how can he be shaving at the end of 30 days because of Suffolk? Well, that's the question. Vamai, the Gemara asks, maybe they're not Tomei. That is to say, maybe one of them is what, maybe one of them is not, maybe one of them is not Tomei. And in fact, most of the Mefoshim understand that the question is taka only on the second shaving. The first shaving, there should be no suffix on. On the other hand, Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz says that maybe even though the question is even on the first one, because after all, you could say maybe both of them are Tahor, or maybe there's a difference in how you do the Tiglachas Tumah and Tiglachas Tahara. So yeah, a few different possibilities but in any case, most of the Mefarshim explain that the question really is on the second shaving. The first shaving, fine, they have to shave no matter what, for Tumah or for Tahara, as the case may be. But the second is the second time, only one of them has to shave at this point because he now finished his Nazirus Tahara. The other one finished his Nazirus Tahara a month ago. So why are they both shaving? So Duma Lab Tmei in Inun, maybe they are not Tomei, meaning maybe one or the other of them, each one of them might not be Tomei. The Ka'ovid HaKofa, and he's being over on the mitzvah of Loisa Kifu Pas Roshchem, where he's shaving his payas. So how does that work? And after all, the Mishnah had said Megalchen Umavian. The Mishnah had said the first time around Megalchen Umavian, and then it said Umavian Korban Tahara. Fine, but when Korban Tahara also involved the shaving, so how are they shaving then? So the answer is Amar Shmuel. So Shmuel says you're right. The din of the Mishnah would only that she shaves the second time would only be the isha over cut. It would only apply to a woman or to a child. So a woman doesn't have the mitzvah of not shaving her payas at all, because the Gemara explains in Kiddushin that even though usually women are chayav in the same mitzvah loisaseh that men are chayav in, the usual rule is any loisaseh that, unlike mitzvah saseh, where you have shalazman grama, shalayazman grama, when it comes to loisaseh, generally you have no such exceptions. However, the Mishnah mentions in Kiddushin that there are a couple of exceptions. One of them is the mitzvah of loisa kifu pas roshchem, that a woman is allowed to shave her payas. So now, if the two nizirim over here are women, then fine. Then both of them are able to shave at the end of the 30 days and at the end of the 60 days, and there's no problem that they might be over on the mitzvah because women aren't chayav in that. And as far as a katan, same thing. We could be talking about a katan who became a nazir, as we learned earlier in the Masechta. For example, you could have we learned before that a katan, one a boy once he's 12 or a girl once they're 11, is able to make nedarim, and if they know what a neder is, then their neder is chal. So therefore, so you have a boy is below by mitzvah, but so he's not yet chayiv in mitzvahs, but his nazirus is a nazirus. But fine, he's able to shave at the end of here because even though he's shaving his payas, and it might be that one time he's shaving it unnecessarily, no problem because he's not yet chayiv in mitzvahs. So therefore, Shmuel saying you're right that it would only work in that case.
But zeros.
No, it doesn't matter. The word nazirim means generically people who are nazir. But the point is, in other words, Shmuel would say if the two nazirim over here were men, or if one of them was a man, then you're right, that wouldn't work. He wouldn't be able to shave. He wouldn't be able to shave again at the end of the 60 days because it might be an unnecessary shave.
Just face.
So just the shaving, the korbanos they can bring, but the shaving they're not going to be able to do. Now, we did learn earlier in the Masechta, we had an opinion of Rabbi Eliezer that said the shaving is ma'akev, and if you don't do the shaving, then the nazirus is not over. So according to him, the person would be stuck. According to the Chachamim, there's a mitzvah to shave, but it's not ma'akev, then fine, he doesn't shave, and nevertheless, the nazirus is over because the korbanos have been brought.
He doesn't shave or doesn't.
So he only shaves the one time at the end of 30 days.
You could shave, but that's not the pace.
So Rabbeinu Peretz again learns that way, that maybe you could say that maybe the shaving for Nazirus Tahara doesn't involve the payas, and then and but the Nazirus Tumah does. And then therefore, so then the first time around, he'd have to shave without the payas, and the second time he wouldn't, and the second time he wouldn't shave at all. But most of them, of course, understand the first that the two shavings are exactly the same. So fine, the first time around, he can shave no matter what. If he's tar, then he's shaving the Naziris Tara. If he's tome, then he's shaving the Naziris Toma. So the first time, there'd be no problem. It would be only the second time that would be the problem. Okay. But the Gemara asks, the Leukman Begodol, why is Shmuel forced to say that we're talking about a woman or a child? Why instead can't he say that we're talking about an adult man, that is? And you would say that Shmuel would say it's not a problem, because you could say that shaving the entire head is not considered hakafa. We've touched on this point before in the Masechta, in particular, when we had that whole sugya about Rosha and Skonei and about the various exceptions when a Nazir and a Matsurda are allowed to shave, even though usually it would be also for them too. So we mentioned that, like this, when the Torah says, the Torah doesn't say don't cut off your payas. What the Torah says is lo sakifu pas roshchem, don't round the corners of your head. Meaning, in other words, that the Torah doesn't want that you should have a straight line going from the hair in the front of your head straight to the back. Like this, you have your hairline in front above your forehead, then it dips down to form your payas, then it goes up again over your ear and to the back of your head. So like this, if a person were to shave off his payas, then there's a straight line of hair running from the front to the back, over going straight across over from his forehead to over his ear, and the Torah doesn't want that. The Rambam talks about because Goyish priests used to do that. There's different other explanations. Whatever the case, Rav Shamshon of Fall Hirsch actually has an interesting take on it. He says the front of the brain, the front of the head, and the front of the brain is where you have the parts that make a person a human being. The front of the brain in particular contains the parts of the brain that make a person be able to speak and to think and to whatever and do uniquely human things. The back part of the brain is more like the earthy kind of things. There you have the parts where a person can breathe and eat and sleep and so on and so forth. So the Torah wants you to make a distinction between those two parts to realize that You're a yid. You have to act more like a person, less like a behemoth. So therefore, you have to have a separation between them. Anyway, the point, whatever the case, whether it's that, whether it's the Rambam's reason, whatever the case, ultimately, it's this is how Hashem wants it. So now the question is again. So if a person shaves off his payas and leaves the rest of his hair, no question, he's over on the issue because he's doing loisakivu. He's leaving a circle of hair, a round thing of hair, from the front to the back. What happens if he shaves off his entire head, payas included? Is he over on the mitzvah or not? On the one hand, he's not rounding anything because there's no hair left. On the other hand, he is shaving the payas. So now, why doesn't Shmuel assume that hakofas kol harosh, lo shma hakofa, that shaving the entire head, payas included, is not considered hakofa, and therefore he wouldn't be over on the, therefore he's not over on the mitzvah, and therefore that could be the simple answer, that the first time around, he's shaving because no problem. Either he's tomei or he's toher, and regardless, he needs to shave. The second time around, if he was tomei and now is toher, then good, he's shaving because of the mitzvah of the nazir shaving. If not, then he's shaving, but he's shaving everything, head and payas. Fine, he's not over on anything because hakofas kolor, because that would be hakofas kolorosh, and that wouldn't be over on the mitzvah of not shaving his payas. Because he's not only shaving his payas, he's shaving the rest of his head. Why doesn't Shmuel answer it that way? And in that case, the case of our Mishnah could apply no matter what kind of Nazirim we're talking about, whether men, women, or children. And the answer is, Midaloi Moikin Lahafi, since Shmuel does not learn it like that, Shmamina, that shows, Kasava Shmuel, that shows that Shmuel must hold Hakafas Kalora Shma Hakafa, that shaving the entire head is considered Hakafa, and that a person is over if he shaves the entire head as well. Which again is a point that we discussed earlier, Arudaf Mem Mem Aleph, in that area, where we had the whole sugya about Rosha and Skane and about what a person is also to shave and what are the mitzvahs for him to shave when it is appropriate to. So we discussed there the possibility that maybe it's not considered hakafa. We went back and forth over there. So now we're saying Shmuel holds that such a thing is considered hakafa. Yes, not only if a person were to shave off his payas and not the rest of his head, he would be over, but even if he shaved off his payas and the rest of his head, he would also be over. Therefore, Shmuel is bothered by the question. Again, the second Nazir over here, why is he shaving after 60 days? And the answer is it could only work if that second Nazir is a woman or a child. Okay. Now, and the Gemara continues, Mazutra Masni Lahoshmaita Shmuel Asefa. Mazutra learns that Shmuel's statement about Hakofas Kolorosh is actually referring to the Sefer, namely to the next Mishnah, to the next Mishnah, Nuntes Amud Beis, which is, you have a case over there that we discussed before, Nazir Shoya Tomei B'Safek U'Mukhlet B'Safek, where you had a case where Nazir is, where there's a Safek whether he became Tomei Mes, and there's a Safek, actually it's the Mishnah after the next, whatever, it's a further Mishnah in the Perek on Nuntes Amud Beis. So Nazir, we talked about this in the previous parak. You had a suffix whether he became Tomei Mes. You also have a suffix whether he was a confirmed Metzora, where we talked there about a few possibilities, how he could be a suffix Metzora, whatever the case. So we said that, so we said he has to go through multiple stages. He has to essentially keep his Naziris four times because the first time around he might be a Metzora and therefore that doesn't count towards his Naziris at all. The second time might be the days that the Metzora has to count between the first shaving and the second. And again, we learned previously that those don't count towards his Naziris. The third one might be Naziris Tumah. The fourth one is going to be then Naziris Tara. And you have all the different possibilities. So each time you have fewer and fewer possibilities, what it is, but ultimately you end up four times. And the Mishnah says, Oichob Kodshim Lacha Shishim Yom. He's able to eat Kodshim after 60 days have passed, because at that point he's for sure done with Tsaras. Because even if he was a Mitzoda after the first 30 days and the second 30 days, he's done with his two shavings of Tsaras and with his Korbanos. And now he can eat Kodshim. And he has to shave four times because, again, the first time might be the first shaving for the tzaraas. It might instead be one of the other shavings. It might be the shaving for his tumas mess. It might be the shaving for that he completed his nizirus successfully. So we have three possibilities over there. The second time also, it might be the second shaving of the mitzvah. It might be the shaving for tumah, because it might be the shaving for tumah, or it might be the shaving for nizirus tara. And the same thing each of the other times. So he has to shave four times. And again, each of those times is a suffix of various ways. And again, and again, you have the same question. Mazutra points out that how could he do that when he's shaving his payas and he's not allowed to? And the answer would be, so Mazutra says that Shmuel's statement is referring to that Mishnah, Omar Shmuel, Be'isha, V'katan, that that Mishnah is, again, referring only to a woman or to a child. They can shave each of those times, whereas if it was a man, not necessarily he would be able to do that, because then some of those times he'd be shaving and it would be a suffix and he wouldn't be able to do that. So every time there are kabbonis, Tosfos discusses in a earlier when we learned that whole point, and when we first brought up that point on Nun Hayom and Beis about this person with the Suffolk Tomei and Suffolk Tumah and Suffolk Tsaras. So Tosfos deals at some length over there with what he does as far as his kabbonis. So, for example, the Gemara later on discusses, and Tosfos discusses that in the case. So the first time around, for example, he can bring. So the first time around, the Mitzoda. So you have like this. The Mitzoda has there's first he has two birds which are not a korban. You just have the whole thing at the beginning of Parashas Mitzoda where one of them is shechted and the other, and then the water, the blood is mixed into water, and then the Kohen dips another alive bird and Eitz Erez and Ezev and Shnei Telas and whatever into it and lets the bird fly off. Fine, so that he has to do. That's not a korban per se. After that, when it comes to korbanos, so he brings a chata sa'if, which he might be a nazir tomei. Fine, that he can bring because you can bring a chata sa'if because of suffix. He can bring an olas behema because he might have been a nazir tomei. He won't be able to bring all the korbanos because again he can't. If he was a nazir tomei, he'd have to bring a chatas behema, and he can't bring a chatas behema because of suffix. But fine, we learned earlier that according to the Chachamim, anyway, you don't have to bring all the korbanos. It's not ma'akev. If you don't bring all the korbanos, you can bring some of them and you stand and shave, and you're still done with your naziris at that point. So we're going to discuss later on in some detail in the Gemara what that eventually he's going to bring all his korbanos, but he's going to bring them piecemeal.
Excuse me,
He's going to bring them a little here, a little there. He's going to bring them some the first time, more the second time, because he has a different sphakas of what happened with him. So eventually he's going to have to bring a chatas. Eventually he has to bring a chatas for his nazirus. We just don't know whether he's bringing it after 30 days or after 60 or after 90 or after 120. So yeah, anyway. The point is, and then Tosfos goes on and discusses in detail what exactly his schedule is and what he does as far as his carbonus. Again, we're gonna be discussing it in more detail on Daf Samach. So the point is, Mazutra is saying this statement of Shmuel about that the shaving each time can only be if it's a woman or a cotton. So Mazutra learns that Shmuel said it not in reference to our Mishnah, but rather in reference to that later Mishnah. For one thing, because our Mishnah actually doesn't say in so many words that the second time they both shave. It just says that they shave, they bring their korbanos, and then the second time around, they bring korbanos again, but doesn't actually say that they shave. So maybe because of that, Mazutra learned that Shmuel was not necessarily referring to our Mishnah, but the later Mishnah where it clearly says that he shaves four times, then we have to understand how he could do that when some of those times is only a suffix, and the answer would be we're talking about a woman or a child. Again, that all is predicated on Shmuel holding Hakafas Toloroi Shmo Hakafa. If Shmuel were to hold that Loi Shmo Hakafa, that you allowed to shave the entire head, payas included, then he'd have nothing to say about it, because then even a man could do that because he wouldn't be over on the mitzvah of shaving his payas, because that mitzvah wouldn't apply in that case where he's shaving his entire head.
So once it's because he had to shave the head, it's questioned over here if it includes payas or not. Depending on who's going to.
No, just the opposite. We know the Torah tells us not to shave the payas. The question is, does that include not shaving the entire head, including the payas? Or is it only if a person shaves the payas without the head that he's over? Now we're saying that Shmuel holds either one, he's over. As long as he shaves his payas, whether it includes the rest of his head, whether or not, either way, he's over. Right. Well, that's the question. Okay, so now let's talk about this point. Let's talk more about this point of shaving the head and who it applies to. So the Gemara says, Omer Avuna, hamakif es hakatan. If a person shaves the payas of a child, harehu chayev, then the one who did the shaving is going to be chayev malchus. Because when the pasuk says lo sakifu, where it doesn't just mean your own. In fact, by the way, just to finish off, by the way, when it comes to the previous case of the Nazir, of the Nazir who's Tomei B'Safik and Mukhlet B'Safik, you have, Tosfos points out, you have not only the issue of shaving his head, at some point you have the issue of shaving his beard as well. And with Sod asked to shave his beard, and Nazir doesn't. So even the first time already, you have a Safik, his head he can shave no matter what, whether he was Tomei, whether he was Tahor, whether he had successful Mizirus, either way he has to shave, but his beard, only if he was a Mitzoda, is he shaving his beard? And again, you have the same question, because a Yid is not allowed to shave his beard either, and the answer is if it was an Isha or a cotton, so either they don't have a beard at all, or even if a Isha does have a beard, she is allowed to shave it. The mitzvah of Lois Sashtes doesn't apply to her either, so then yeah. Okay, so the Gemara says, Omer Avuna, hamakif sakot narehu chayev. If a person shaves the payas of a child, then he is chayev malchus. Because when it says, lo sakifu pas roshchem, doesn't just mean the payas of your own head, it means the payas of somebody else's head as well. So omelet of adaba avalon of huna, so of adaba ava astra of huna. If you're telling me that an adult is not allowed to shave a child, the didoch, what about your own children? Man megaleach lahoin, who shaves them? In other words, that Tosfos says he saw Rav Huna's children where their heads were completely shaved, payas and all. And so he's asking him, according to you, Rav Huna, that's also for a yid to do that. Then who did that for your children? The Mefarish explains also that it was a common thing that when children were sick, then they would afterwards, in order to make them feel better, they would have them shave their heads completely. Maybe the idea is because otherwise they had the weight of the hair on their head would bother them. Whatever the case exactly, it was a known thing that when children were sick, then afterwards they would shave their heads. So now Rav Ada Bar Abba is asking Rav Huna, I see your children have their heads completely shaved. What happened? Omalei, so Rav Huna answers him, Choiva, my wife Choiva is the one who shaves them. Since only a man is also to shave his payas, a woman is not. Therefore, so he says, so I left it up to her. Because after all, he says, if she's not chayev in the mitzvah, then it means that she's not subject to the mitzvah of shaving payas either. There is actually an issue that Mefoshim bring up, which is, even if you say that she doesn't have the mitzvah of not shaving hair, still you have a concept that we learned this in Yevamos, if a katan is doing an avera, that you don't necessarily have to stop him, but you can't give him an issu biyadayim. You can't actually give him something to shave or other than that to eat. So the Minchas Chinuch brings up that question, and then there's a couple of different answers that are given that maybe that concept is only dirabbanan, and here at least as the Mefarish is saying they're doing it because the children were sick and now you're helping them feel better, then maybe it's not osur. And then there are different other answers. One of them being that when we say you're not allowed to give him something which is osur, you're talking about something which is osur to you. So therefore, you have an issur of giving it to the child. But here, where the woman herself is not osur in shaving or payas at all, then therefore it wouldn't be an issur. It wouldn't be an issue for her to do it with the children.
This is on the children because
she's not, because the issur is not on her, therefore she'd be allowed to do it to the children. Yes, that is one answer, and there are other answers as well. Another point is that the whole problem is that the Beis HaLevi in fact says that, so therefore, so what are you also to give a child something that you yourself are also to eat? Well, she's mutter to shave her payas, therefore she's mutter to give that. And then there's also there's other answers. For example, it only applies when it's something that they're going to continue doing when they're older. You give them treifas when they're children, they may continue eating the same kind of things when they're older. Here, they're only doing it when they're children. This concept, especially according to the Mefarish, that we're doing it only when they're sick. They do that only with children. So then eventually when they become older, they're not going to be doing it anyway, then it's not a problem. And the Karen Ora says maybe also the Tanim over here are not even of the age of Chinuch yet. And then there's a variety of different answers. Anyway, the Gemara continues. So he's saying that Choyva does that. So therefore, that's not the problem. But Rav Ada says to Rav Huna, Tikberinun Choyva Levaneha. Choyva should bury her children. Meaning, yeah, so Tosfos and the Mefarish explain that this is a statement. He's saying she is being over on an Isser, she deserves to, she's committing an Isser, she deserves to be punished for that. The Rosh says actually that he's asking it as more like a rhetorical question. Does she want to bury her children? In other words, is she not afraid of the punishment min hashamayim for doing this Avera?
Why the kid's fault?
We're not saying it's the kid's fault, but we find in many places in Shas that children, young children, can be punished for the averus of their parents. They're considered to a certain extent like their parents' property. So therefore, so one possibility is he's saying as a statement because she's doing an avera, or the other possibility that's Tosfos, and then the Rosh says that he's saying it as a rhetorical question. And in fact, Benayahu, which is from the Ben Ishchai, understands, according to the first explanation, that Rav Ada is saying that, listen, I understand, Rav Huna, you are telling her not to, because you understand that this is also as well, but she didn't listen to you, so therefore, then she deserves a penalty for that. And the Gemara continues, Kulu Shnid Rav Ada Ba'aba Lo Yikayim Lezara Lo Rav Huna. Throughout all of Ada Ba'aba's life, Rav Huna's children did not stay alive. In other words, because of this that he said. So if you say that he said it as a statement, as a curse, then we know the curse of a Talmid Chacham has an effect. If we say like the Rosh, that he said it as a rhetorical question, then it's called Kishgoga Sheyotzim Lifnei Shalit. It's called, like the Pasuk says, a ruler makes a mistake and says something inadvertent. Nevertheless, it has effects. So that was the result.
The curse wasn't his father.
So no, that was Rav Ada Ba'aba was saying, yeah. The Hafla actually in a Sefer HaMakna on Kiddushin has a different explanation also of why Rav Ada Ba'aba would say such a harsh thing. He says that actually the Gemara talks over there about the Mishnah, and the Gemara talk over there about the various mitzvahs that women are not chayav in, even though their loisa says, and generally women are chayav in loisa says, again, one of them is shaving payas. Another one is that the wife or daughter of a Kohen is allowed to become tamei mes when the Kohen himself is not. So therefore, sort of Ada Ba'aba is expressing himself. He's saying, if you're telling me, Rav Huna, that she considers she's able to she's able to shave her, the kid's payas because she's not mitzvah on that mitzvah, then by the same token, if it comes to burying them, then the same way she would have to be the one to do it rather than a kohen who's related to her. And again, he didn't mean that as a curse against her. He's saying it like as a statement of halacha, but nevertheless, because he being a tzaddik, nevertheless, what he said had a severe effect. So the Gemara says, let's consider. What's going on over here? Mechti, now let's consider. Tarvayu svira hakofas kolor shma hakofa. Evidently, both Rav Huna and Rav Ada Bar Abba agree that hakofas kolor shma is considered hakofa, because that's what we're talking about over here. We're talking about it was it was, after all, a haircut where their entire head was shaved. Otherwise, Rav Ada Bar Abba has nothing to ask about. So obviously, they hadn't left. They'd shaved the entire head, including the payas. So they both agree. So they and yet they both evidently agree that is considered hakafa and it is over on the mitzvah of keeping payas. The difference is that Rav Huna is saying that my wife is doing it, but implying, in other words, if he himself were to do it, he would agree that he'd be over on an issur. Rav Ada Bar Abba is saying that choiva, that the wife shouldn't be doing it either. So what the ma'ik miftigi? What is the underlying machloikas? What are their respective svaras? So the answer is Rav Huna Savar. Rav Huna figures, since the pasuk says Lois Sakifu Pas Roshchem, the Lois Sashkes Es Pas Konecha, the pasuk mentioned these two things together: don't round the corners of your head and don't destroy the corners of your beard. Therefore, Rav Huna explains that the comparison is Kosh Yeshle Hashchosa Yeshle Hakofa. Anybody who is subject to the mitzvah of ashchasa, who is subject to the mitzvah of not shaving the corners of their beard, they are also subject to the mitzvah of akafa, of not shaving their payas. Vahani noshi, now women, they don't have the iser of hashchasa zakin, because generally women don't grow a beard, and even if they do, they're not bound by the iser of not shaving it. If a woman does grow facial hair, she is allowed to shave it. So therefore, Rav Huna figures, less no nami ba'akofa. Therefore, the whole mitzvah of hakofa, of shaving the payas, doesn't apply to them either. And therefore, Rav Huna was okay with his wife shaving the children. He himself, he knows he would be over on an issur if he did, because he himself is bound by the issur of not shaving his payas. And therefore, like we said, like Rav Huna said at the beginning of the sugya, hamakif as a katan areyu chayev, but he held that doesn't apply to women. It would only apply to a person to whom the mitzvah applies in the first place.
So
that's according to him. There's no reason for her to be punished. That's according to Rav Ada Bar Abba. Rav Ada Bar Abba says that the pasuk is implying that the pasuk is implying both the makif, the one who shaves the payas, and the nikaf, the one whose payas are being shaved, both of them are included in the words lo sakifu pas roshchem. In other words, Tosfos says pas roshchem obviously means the hair of the person, means the head of the person who's wearing the payas. So it's also for him to have them shaved off. And lo sakifu, now instead the pasuk could have said lo sukfu, you should not allow it to be rounded. The fact that it says lois sakifu, you should not round, implies also the one who's actually doing the shaving is also. So therefore, Rav Ada Bar Abba says, the itkash makif l'nika. So therefore, that means the pasuk is telling you a hekish between the two of them, between the one who's being shaved and the one who's shaving and the one who's being shaved. Kol hecha b'nikaf mechayev, any place where the nikaf would be chayav, would be also and would be punishable with malchus for doing it. Makif nami mechayav, then the one who shaves is also chayav, a punishment for it. Bahai cotton. Now, when it comes to a cotton, who gufe la ba unshin, who de mechayav, since he himself is not chayav in unshin, he's not yet of the age of mitzvahs, makif nami loy mechayav, then there's no chiyuv, there's no isur malchus on the one who shaves him. So Rav Ada Bar Abba would actually hold that when it comes to shaving a child, even a man could do it. Unlike Rav Huna, who says that only a woman could do it, Rav Ada Bar Abba himself would hold that even a man could do it. On the other hand, a woman would be also to do it to a gadol, because even though it's true that the woman is not chayev, but Rav Ada Bar Abba learns, since the gadol, since the adult who's being shaved is chayev, then therefore she would be also as well. Because of the hekesh, right? So therefore, so he would hold actually that so he would hold. So it's true when it comes to a child, Rav Adav Abba is going to say that is going to say that it is mutter. It's only when with an adult that it's only with an adult that that it's osur. In fact, there is a good deal of discussion. Tosfos discusses various angles on it over here of what exactly their machlokas is, and there's also discussion among different rishonim would it at least be also drabbanan. The Rambam in fact holds that even though we're saying like Rav Abba over here that a woman is not also in a kofa and therefore she would be allowed to shave a child, nevertheless midrabbanan it's going to be also. In fact, the Beis Yosef says you can see so you have like this. Ultimately, you have like this. The Rif and the Rosh hold that in fact in the end, based on our Gemara over here, a woman would be allowed to shave a child's payas, even midrabbanan, there's no issue with it. On the other hand, the Rambam holds it's also midrabbanan, and the Beis Yosef says, you see from this story that Chova was punished so severely by her children passing away, so it has to be there's some degree of issur in it. If pointer of Adab Abba, there's no issur in it at all. Just the fact that he said Tikbarunul of Ne should not be enough to trigger that. It has to be that there was, in fact, some degree of issue involved, namely at least Dirabbanan, and therefore that would mean, even though maybe Midaraisa, because of this Hekesh, a woman would be allowed to shave a child. But over here, it is also Dirabbanan. And then that's one answer. The Shara Melech, one of the Mefarshim on the Rambam, brings a point also that the Mefarish said over here earlier that the case was the children were sick and therefore their heads had to be shaved. So maybe the Rambam would say that only in a case like that would it be mutter because it's needed for their health. Ordinarily you would say that it's also Dirabban.
So the question, if the child was sick, then why did she get punished?
So then according to that, you would say, in other words, that... So first of all, yeah, I mean, it could be just because of Rav Ada's statement might be enough. But on the other hand, we could say that if the children were sick and then were shaved, then you would say that there's more of a heter for it. But here, not necessarily was that the case. Because there's chinuch involved also, right? So the bottom line is you have a machlokas haposkim. The Shulchan Aruch brings both. He brings, like Rav Huna, that a woman is allowed to shave even a gadol, Rav Huna, after all, doesn't hold of this hekesh that Rav Adav Abba did. He makes a different hekesh. He says the hekesh is between payas and beard, and therefore, since a woman is allowed to shave her beard, therefore she's allowed to shave not only her payas, but somebody else's payas, so she would be able to shave even a gadol's payas. So Shulchan Aruch brings that, and then he brings the opinion of the Rambam that no, midrabbanan should be also both by a man and by a child.
It's like feeding a yitchazer.
So that's what we said before. It's like feeding a yitchazer, but we had the different answers. One of them being, if she herself is mutter in it, then she's not osur to do it for somebody else. That was one of the answers we just said before. But even for a man, if she herself is not mitzvah in it, then maybe it's not an issue. Anyway, Tosfos discusses in some detail over here why it is that Rav Huna does not darshan like Rav Ada. Instead, he darshins differently. In other words, it comes out. Tosfos says they're actually arguing on two points. Rav Huna would say that a woman is always allowed to shave payas, whether a gadol or whether a katan. Rav Ada says that no. She is also an ischayev malchus if she shaves a man. And then they're also arguing about a child. Rav Huna would hold that if an adult shaves the payas of a child, he's chayev. And Rav Adav Ava would say that he's potter. And then Tosfos discusses that the halacha is like Rav Huna and discusses in more detail all the ins and outs of that. Again, you have a machlokas aposkim. In the end, is a woman allowed to shave the payas of a gadol or of a katan, where you have poskim who say that she is allowed to, and you have others that say that at least she's also midrabbanan. And then we'll continue in the Gemara tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, with more of this discussion of Akofas Kolarosh, and get into the general into the Yisurim of shaving the payas and shaving the beard, and we're going to talk more about the ins and outs of those mitzvahs.